Visitors to the Helen Pitt Gallery on Alexander Street will find a conglomeration of sticks, moss, plastic jewelry, bottles, broken ornaments, obsolete machines, and enough other unwanted items to fill a dumpster. It's called The Great Scattered Remnants. Laura Lamb saw the show and is here to talk about it. Good morning, Laura.
Thanks. Good morning.
For coming in. So why would anyone want to go to a gallery in the first place to look at a pile of garbage?
Well, it really isn't just a pile of garbage. Garbage is just the materials that the artist used. Similarly to how an artist might use bronze or paint to make an artwork. And these three young artists from Victoria, Scott Evans, Emmy Honda, and Jordan McKenzie, have created something out of garbage, and you can call it an installation.
And what by the word installation, most of our listeners have probably encountered that term. What does an installation mean exactly?
Well, an installation is something that artists have been doing since the 60s, and basically it's a temporary artwork that only has an existence specific to the place where it's installed. So it can be made out of whatever materials, you know, trash or paint or wood or steel or whatever. And it can be painted on the walls, or it could be a sculptural thing like this is, or perhaps this is almost better described as a diorama that they've made using remnants, as they call them, or, you know, scraps. But I think despite the title, it's not really scattered. It's very carefully put together.
So what did the artist make with all of these materials? Can you describe what I might see if I walk over to the gallery on Alexander Street this afternoon?
Well, the first thing you'll see if you go over there is the window from the outside. When you look in the window, you see a landscape, a diorama, on a revolving table. It's like a miniature forest. And it's made out of all kinds of things, like twigs and moss representing trees, and lots of other natural objects, like one of those huge shelf fungi and a piece of a beehive. And there's also materials that are bits of plastic toys that represent trees as well. And then there's a lot of kind of electronic parts and machine parts, like capacitors and radio tubes and things. And when you look at them in this imaginary tiny scale, they become like perhaps magical architectural forms or strange exotic plants. And the scale is so tiny, and this little landscape, this little diorama is so intricate. And the table that it's on is revolving. So as it revolves, you look in this window, and it's lit very nicely as well. So at night, it especially looks wonderful. You can sort of imagine all these countless little places to enter. These little vistas open up and then fade away again as they move, and these mysterious grottos appear, and you can enter them in your imagination. And when I first saw it, which was at nighttime, there was a crowd of people, a small crowd outside, mesmerized by it.
So once you get over the mesmerization of being outside, what do you find when you go inside the gallery?
Well, there's more of the same. But the installation, the dioramas that they've built inside the gallery are a slightly larger scale than the one on the revolving table, and they're kind of curved along the edges of the room. They seem to be sort of emerging out of the walls. There's actually three areas. Each artist was mainly responsible for one area. But there's a lot of commonalities between the areas, so they're all quite there. The three areas are quite distinct, but there's also a lot of things that bring them together. For one thing, they all have moving things, and they all use light, and they all have moss. Moss seems to be a commonality, something that they all like to use, and they all have little trinkets and knickknacks. There's sounds in one area. The area that Jordan made has old organs, and if you step on a sewing machine pedal, a ukulele is plucked. So these things seem to happen sort of at random, or when you press a button or something. So there's a sense of mystery. For instance, there's a tiny little hut in Jordan's section, and made out of moss, and when you peer into it, you see that there's a little television show, a tiny little like 1-inch television movement going on in there.
It sounds a lot like the kind of display that would appeal to a child's love of fantasy. Is this a show that you think kids would like?
Yeah, there were some kids there, and the artists also told me when I talked to them that kids are absolutely delighted by it and fascinated by it. It reminds me of the Woodward's Window. I don't know if you or people listening remember the Woodward's Window at Christmas. They have these little things moving around, and you know, people will stand outside that and gaze for hours as well, children. And I think the artists are working with this sense of strangeness, the sense of uncanny when inanimate things come alive. And in the department store window, that happens, but then it's even stranger than that, and these artists kind of play with that strangeness. They work with it. They don't try to suppress it like Woodward's does or Disney does, just to make things cute. So in a way, there's also a little bit of menace and a little bit of excitement because it's strange and icky. For instance, there's one of the sections is a sort of a hut, and inside that hut there's this conglomeration of bottles with water in them and aquariums, and there's steam and flowing water, and so there's all this sense of light and translucency, transparency, beautiful colored glass, and so on. But at the same time, inside the bottles, there's yicky, there's dirt. Like, these bottles have been lying out in the garbage for a long time, perhaps, you know, collected from where they've just gathered rainwater, and things have started to grow in there, like mold and maybe insects. And so it's not quite as fairy tale-ish or Disney-ish as you might expect from a moving diorama.
So it sounds almost like a Woodward's Window made not only for children but by children, with some of children's sensibility for the weird. Is it also like play by the artists, or is it something more serious or profound?
Well, of course, you know, what these artists have done is somewhat more sophisticated than what children do when they play, pretend, and make, you know, places for their dolls to live and so on. Especially the work by Emmy, her section is quite elegant and spare, but it's also mixed with this over-the-top kind of weird intertidal imagery of strange, bizarre plants. But it is childish or childlike in a way that a lot of the stuff is kind of crudely made, like put together with duct tape, improvised, the way children, you know, they'll just find this and they'll say, oh, that can be this, and suddenly it is. And I think this show speaks to art making's relationship to childhood, which in the second half of the 20th century became rather unfashionable because we came to regard that as very romantic, as part of a romanticist view of art making. And so it has been suppressed, along with the domestic, which is also related to childhood, I suppose, and the expressive and the beautiful. I noticed in the comment book there were many people had commented, this is beautiful, as if, you know, that was a sudden revelation that art could be beautiful. And I think that these elements of art that have been rather repressed over the last 50 years or so are erupting, somewhat like the intertidal pond or the fungi in this work.
If this is a trend, it sounds like art galleries might be becoming more accessible and entertaining, but here in the real world, obviously, we have wars and imperialism and looming ecological disasters. Is this really the time for an art that creates a childlike fantasy like this? Do you think this could be accused of being very escapist?
Well, that is a big question that takes me in a lot of directions. for one direction that it takes me is that fantasy isn't necessarily escapist, because the very act of imagining a utopia or an Edenic, you know, a Garden of Eden sort of place, like this is a strange kind of perhaps nostalgia or utopian world of fantasy, can be revolutionary, because you have to imagine some kind of prototype for a better world before you can start working towards it. And I do see this kind of work as being a metaphor for art or for imagination's role in social change. The other direction that that question leads me, about fantasy and whether this work is, you know, perhaps not serious enough, is that if you want to find a social political content in this work, it's not very hard to do. For instance, the website, when it's describing this show, says it's a, quote, half dream world and half sociological critique.
So are you suggesting by that people might be drawn into this exhibition because it's charming and it's pleasurable, and then in the process be exposed to important ideas through art, like, for instance, ideas about waste and ecology?
I think that people tend to want to frame it that way. I think there's an expectation that artists have a duty to be at least, as that quote said, part sociologist or half sociologist. And perhaps another tendency today to want to make art into a kind of a sugarcoating on a lesson. But I'd like to think that the relationship is a lot more complex than that. And what I see these artists doing is certainly socially rooted, but I think it demonstrates a way of thinking and communicating about the world that is unique to art, or could be what art does differently from other kinds of discourse, in that it tries to avoid dualities, for instance, between the personal and the social, between the inner and the outer, or the mind and the body, and between the intellect and emotions. And it offers viewers a holistic entry point into many important issues that meld the political and the social world.
Well, thank you very much, Laura, for coming in and talking with us about this this installation.
Great to be here.
I've been speaking with Laura Lamb about The Great Scattered Remnants, which is an installation by Scott Evans, Emmy Honda, and Jordan McKenzie. It's at the Helen Pitt Gallery at 148 Alexander Street. And the hours of the gallery are noon to 5 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday, and the show continues there until October 8th.